A God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. A message that for many years we preached or taught out of this psalm, as my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, used to, because it's a signpost on this journey, this Christian journey that we're on. But I think it's been a while since we've looked at it, and the timing, given all that seems to be happening in the world and the rise of enemies of God, not only in the world, but in our country, I think the timing of David's words might be of encouragement and giving knowledge of God that in all things we might not only give thanks to God, not for all things, but in all things, but that we might have peace in the midst of what seems to be chaotic and tumultuous times. And David, in this psalm, Psalm 37, in the first 8 verses, tells us, fret not. Obviously, this psalm is set where conditions are such that we might be fretting. I don't know about you, but I'm in a time when I'm fretting, and I'm so encouraged by David's words, which have come to be known as God's words. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Hey, you know, we see people, evil people, workers of iniquity, we see them prosper. God says, don't fret about it. Why? He says, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. David gives us a remedy for putting fretting or worrying in its place. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, what's good? Trusting in the Lord. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily or truly thou shalt be fed. He says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Dr. Scott used to teach, is in every Christian promise box, mocking promise box, because what it's saying here is, if you make the Lord your delight, and the word delight here includes an understanding of pliability. When we understand that we are clay and God's the potter and he's working the clay on his wheel to produce that which God wants, and we understand he's the potter, and the clay does not talk back to the potter, whatever circumstance you might find yourself in, which might be contrary to what you think God, the situations that God's people ought to be in, that is, you know, healthy, wealthy, and wise, and maybe that's not your circumstance. Well, understand, God is in control. He knows right where you're at. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. Both of these words in the third verse and the fifth verse, in the Hebrew, the word is betach. And the picture of the Hebrew language is to lean with your whole weight upon a staff with the understanding or hope or confidence that that staff will hold you up. He says, commit. This word comes out of the ancient merchant camel trains, where the merchant would take the burden and roll it off his back onto the camel's back. Whatever you might be fretting about, God says, roll it onto me. And lean on me. Sixth verse says, he shall bring forth thy righteousness. Who's going to bring forth your righteousness? God is going to bring forth your righteousness. That's a promise of God to those who are trusting him. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently, King James says, for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In studying for this teaching this morning, I looked at this statement, and wait patiently for him. For who? For God. It's an interesting word. In the Hebrew, there is part of this word that might just involve some painful waiting. Dr. Scott used to say, and wait with endurance. I like it. But, you know, I just thought it was kind of interesting about this word, wait patiently. It's one word in the Hebrew. And there is a note of perhaps some pain being involved here. The alternative is, you know, when you find yourself in this situation where you might be fretting and you are trusting in the Lord and you are pliable in him and you have committed whatever it is you might be fretting about to God and you're trusting in him, it says, then be silent in the Lord. And fret not. Cease from anger. Forsake not wrath. Fret not thyself anywise to do evil. Now, I love this psalm because it always, number one, puts me in my place, understanding that I'm not God, that He is God, and He does work. In fact, in that verse, in that fifth verse of this psalm, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him. It says, and He shall bring it to pass. No, what it says is, the Lord has knowledge and He worketh. And we say, in the deepest relationship that we can have with our Father, like Jesus told us to pray, thy will be done. Thy will be done in earth. We don't say, no, God, do it my way. No, we say, your way, your will, Father, be done. The Lord knoweth, the Lord worketh. When we get over and when we are participating in those four things, in trusting, in delighting or being pliable, in committing our way to God, in being silent before God and resting with endurance, waiting with endurance, God does all these things. Now, I'm going to run through the whole psalm because it's worth listening to. It says in the ninth verse, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There's a time coming when Jesus will be Lord of Lords and King of Kings in this world. Not yet. He says, for yet a little while, the wicked shall not be. Wow. You know, David penned this psalm 3,000 years ago. And yet, the wicked are still here. Wait. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You know what's coming for the wicked. But the meek, those that have come under the control and learning that God is the master of our life, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him. For he seeth his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent the bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversion. The sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. You know why? Because we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. That righteousness comes from God. That righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that God gives to those who trust Him, to those that put their faith, not just believe, but put their faith in God. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and gives. Boy, I'm running by a lot of things that we could and perhaps one day will concentrate on. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Wow. Horrifying thing to think of, being cursed of the Lord. King James says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Notice if you have a King James Bible, the word good is in italics. It's speaking of the committed man. If you have trusted and delighted yourself and committed your way unto God, God ordereth your path. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Jesus said, I am the way. We delight in Jesus. Though he fall, though he stumble, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, and I could say this. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And boy, I hope you've been with me long enough to understand we're talking about that righteousness that God gives to those who trust in him, to those who grab hold of his promises. He, God, is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, David tells us, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints, those that who have committed their way unto God, they are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. I would say the word of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hands, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord. Now, this word wait is one that has the hope, the expectancy of hope, the expectancy of all this that God upholds. He does it with knowledge. He works, he orders, he upholds with his hands. He forsaketh not, he strengtheneth in trouble. That's the hope we have. God said he would. And the Lord, if he said it, he'll do it. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, we're going to see it. Hallelujah. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a tree growing in good soil. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Listen to that. Man, that's a day that's coming. Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man, it ain't me. And it's none of these biblical characters save for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was perfect in all his ways. He said, my peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Both the salvation and righteousness is of our Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. If you find yourself in trouble, listen to God's word. He says, I'll be your strength in this time. And this last verse 40 of Psalm 37 is something that over these 40 years or more since I first began to learn the word of the Lord has given me understanding and joy and encouragement in God our Father, for it says, and the Lord our Father shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Not because we go to church on Sunday. Not because we graduated from our Christian colleges. Not because we attended and followed our cemeteries. Not because we live a righteous life, but because they trust in him. Now, this word in the Hebrew, trust, is hasa, that they run to him for shelter, that they run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings, that they run to the shelter of a rock with the full expectation that under those wings or under that rock, they shall be safe. I hope these words shall stay with you in these troublesome and chaotic times brought about by vile people who shall soon be cut off our hope and our trust does continue with joy in the word of our God, in the words of our Father, in the word of God, Jesus Christ, in him, in our Father and in Jesus, shall we continue in the gift of, from God, of faith. And that's the God School for today.